Welcome to Blue Crew Diaries, an Empire podcast. My name is Daryl, and I will be your host as we take a look behind the mask, so to speak, sharing stories, insights, and experiences from the unique perspective of the baseball umpire. In this episode, we'll talk about the first week of my season and how things look going forward. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, drop me a line at bluecrewdiaries@gmail.com. So if you're ready, grab your indicator and plate brush, and let's hit the field. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode here of the Blue Crew Diaries and Empire Podcast. And as you heard in the intro, this episode will pretty much be about the first week of my Little League umpiring season. And, kind of where I see things going forward from here. But before we get into that, a couple of just basic announcement type stuff. Little League umpire outreach clinics are still going on. If you're interested in those, you can find those listed on the umpire registry, littleleagueumpire.org. So be sure to check those out if you're interested in, if there happens to be one near you. I know there are some leagues out there that will actually reimburse umpires to go to one of these outreach clinics. I'm sure not all of them do that, but I believe there are some that are actually doing that. So might be something worth looking into. Also on the Umpire Registry is the Umpire Rules Challenge. I believe it is like 70 questions. I honestly should know. I've taken it a few times. But really gets into to real specific situations that you may find yourself in and what rules would apply to those situations. Definitely something to check out if you are interested. Like I said, I've done it a couple of times and found it really helpful. So again, those are on the Umpire Registry. As far as YouTube, if you are interested in rules clinics, again, California District 4, cannot recommend it enough. They've got their rules clinics up for the past few years, and I believe they plan on doing some fall ball clinics here in the near future. So definitely get on their YouTube page and check those out. All right. So getting into the topic of today's episode, my first week of 2025 in Little League. Started officially on Saturday, May 3rd with our opening day. For the league that I have worked with the past two seasons that I almost didn't work with again this year. Let's just say there is a whole new board of directors, literally a whole new board. Towards the end of last year, they had a big public election for the board. And from what I understand, there was a pretty big turnout for this election. And of all of the people that were on the board at that time, only two of them got elected to this new board. And like I said, that was, I believe, last November of 2024. And to my knowledge, both of those people have already quit this new board just due to some of the goings-on and dealings of this new board. It almost seems to me that they are trying as hard as they can to basically undo everything that the previous board did. I don't know all the fine details of it, but that's what it seems like to me from what I have heard. So it was literally the week before opening day that I finally figured out who was going to be the umpire in chief for this league. And turns out it is somebody that I'm very familiar with. He's been the umpire in chief for the last two seasons that I've worked. At the end of last year, he said he was all done. He'd had enough. But with all the goings on with this new board, apparently they've been so busy basically stumbling around in the dark that they haven't even thought about an umpire in chief yet. So they got a hold of him, said, hey, can you, at least help us out for a couple of weeks, and get our umpire roster, filled out. And, and then kind of teach somebody on the board how to do this, and then we can take him from there. So he agreed and got a hold of me and a couple of the other guys from last year and the year before. And I honestly thought real hard about it, whether or not I was going to go back to this league, just with all the stuff that they've been doing and whatnot. And then I got to talking with him, and it's like, you know what? It's for the kids. That's the end goal. It's for the kids. I think some members of this board have completely forgotten that. And if they haven't forgotten it, they're only thinking about their kid, which is kind of pathetic. And that's the thing, like, with me and one of my, well, I call him my mentor, one of my fellow umpires for this league, Darren, is him and I, we don't have any kids in this league. I mean, neither of my kids even want to play baseball or softball. I have two daughters. Neither one of them really want to play. So I don't have a dog in the fight. Darren doesn't have a dog in the fight. We're out there doing this for all the kids, not just our own. And I think that's something that a few people really need to think about and take a look at. Why are they a member of this Little League board? And I get it. There are some, like one member of the board who has already left the new board. I believe this was going to be his last year anyway, because this is probably going to be the last year that his son plays Little League. He's going to age out of minors at the end of this season. And as far as I know, his son doesn't have any plans on playing junior ball. He's going to focus more on, school ball. And good for him. He's had a pretty good run with Little League. And if he doesn't want to continue, no biggie. I'm off on a tangent here. I apologize. Those of you who know me know that I love to talk. So, for those of you who have not completely tuned out yet, Saturday, May 3 is opening day. I find out that they are planning on having 5 games, 2 majors games, and then 3 minor games. They have 3 minor teams this year in this particular league, 4 major teams. So the 2 major games will allow all 4 major teams to play a game, which is cool. Regular 6-inning regulation game. But then the 3 minors games, they were going to do kind of like a round robin sort of a deal. So team 1 and 2 would play 2 innings or 1 hour, whichever came first. And then team 1 and 3 would do the same thing. And then team two and three would do the same thing. So three two-inning or one-hour games, and all three minors teams would get to play twice, which is cool. You know, and I know a lot of you are probably like, well, those can't be official games. They're only two innings and stuff. One thing that you need to think about is, you know, they're not trying to do, you know, none of these kids on the minors teams are going to bump up this year into the majors, or, you know, most of them probably even, they may not even field an all-star team this year out of the minors, or what we would call a minor all-star team, like a 10U team. You know, a lot of these players that are in minors this year, I would say about 90% of them are coming up into minors from Machine Pitch Farm League last year. So you've got kids on the mound that have never pitched before. You've got kids behind the plate that have never caught before, because in Farm League, they don't use a catcher. You know, and I know because I moderated, you know, the Farm League Championship tournament last year, if you want to call it that. And it's Machine Pitch. And, you know, the batters get an unlimited number of balls. Three strikes, you're out. But there's no walks. There's no four ball walks. And if the pitch gets past the batter, which most of them did, it just bounces and rolls to the backstop, and, you know, the coach has a bucket of baseballs right there next to the pitching machine, and you just, you know, go for it and have a good time. So that's what most of these kids are used to. They're not used to this new, you know, this is almost like a step up into the big leagues for them. Actual, like, baseball. So that was how things were supposed to run. But Friday afternoon, or Friday evening, actually, I still had not heard from my UIC yet, as far as what games I would be working. So I reached out to him. I said, what's the plan for tomorrow? And he sent me a text back, says, I'm all set for tomorrow. I'm looking at some minors games next week for you. Okay. Needless to say, I was a little ticked off by that. Last year, I worked two games opening day. They only had three, and I worked two of them. I worked the middle game, which was a minors, and then I worked the second majors game towards the end of the day. And you know, I've literally, this league is the only baseball that I umpire. This is it. I've umpired almost two full seasons for this league under this same UIC. And opening day of this year, I'm getting completely shafted. Huh. Okay. Yeah, and it seems like he wants to, you know, try to bring some new umpires in. Okay, I can see that. You know, we can always use more people. But that just kind of irritated me a little bit. And then he sends me a text back a couple of minutes later, and he says, I might need help tomorrow if so-and-so doesn't show. But I won't know if so-and-so is going to show until, like, 30 minutes before first pitch tomorrow. So I text him back. I said, look, I was planning on being there anyway. So I'll be at the field just as a spectator. But if you need me, I'll have all my gear in the truck. Just let me know, hey, I need you for whatever game. I'll go to the truck, suit up, and, you know, and we'll roll. I kid you not, not 5 minutes later, he sends me a text and says, I knew it. So-and-so just bailed. Can you help? Yeah, absolutely. What games am I working? Well, so-and-so was planning on working all of them. Yeah. The first thing that popped into my head was, do what? Now, mind you, this is before I knew. All I knew at this point was there were going to be five games. I didn't realize that the three minors games were only going to be two innings. I found that out the next day when I got to the field. So I had no idea that those were only going to be two inning games. I thought they were going to be full games. And he's working all five games? Oh, boy. But I said, yeah, I'm in. So got to the field, and I found out the night before that I was going to be working with Darren. Darren is, you know, like I said, he's my mentor. You know, real nice guy, good umpire, very knowledgeable. And I told him straight to his face, if I could work every game with you, I would absolutely do it in a heartbeat. And he said the same about me. So, you know, and there were a couple times over the last two seasons that, you know, there were times I wanted to quit because I didn't really think I could do it. And he's the one that, you know, oh, well, I got a game to work. Yeah, I want Daryl to work the bases for me. Okay. Yeah, you know, especially that first season, there was a time I flat out, I was so close to quitting. I even told my UIC, I don't think I can do this. Give me some time to process this and see if I can actually do this. And a couple days later, he sends me a text and said, hey, I know, you know, you're kind of down, you're thinking about it, but I have an opening for a base umpire tonight working with Darren, and he specifically asked for you. So, you know what? Okay, I'll do it. Obviously, he sees something. You know, if he's willing to specifically ask that I work with him. So anyway, got to the field, met up with Darren, and I ended up working the plate for the first game with Darren on the bases, and then we switched uniforms, switched gear, and I worked the bases for the second majors game, and then switched back and worked the plate for what ended up being two minors games. The third one ended up getting canceled due to a pretty good rain squall we had come through. We were darn close to losing the field. So it's like, you know what? The two managers got together. One of them wanted to play. The other one was like real hesitant about it. So they just decided, no, you know, both teams had already played one game that day with the format that they had set up. So it's not like nobody got a chance to play. So everything was good. We just called that one. A couple of things with that day. Even though we're not required by rule anymore to look at batting helmets, bats, catcher's gear, all that kind of stuff, we went ahead and did it anyway. And the reason that we did it was, first off, none of the coaches knew anything about the new bat rules with regards to the consequences of a batter stepping into the box with an illegal bat. And the ejections that take place with that, nobody knew. This was actually one of the things, and I'm sure some of you are going to start screaming at me for doing this. I actually went over that specific rule at the plate meeting for all of the games I worked that first day. Even when I was the base umpire in the second majors game, Darren and the coaches went over everything that they had, normal plate meeting stuff, and then Darren asked me to explain to these two managers this new rule, just so everybody's on the same page. And every single manager that I told that new rule to and explained it to, when I mentioned your player is ejected and you were ejected, every single person's eyes got as big as the baseballs we were playing with that day. They were like, whoa, okay, we'll keep an eye on this, because none of them knew. And even Darren didn't know until him and I were doing our pregame and I was talking him through some of the new rules, like jewelry is allowed, you know, you can put stickers on batting helmets, you know, and all that stuff. And then I explained the new bat rules and you can't have thumb guards or choke up knobs or anything like that. And if they get caught during the at bat, then they're gone. The manager is gone. An adult base coach position is lost and all this stuff. You know, I tried not to make the plate meeting into a rules clinic, which I know a lot of umpires swear don't do. That's not what the plate meeting is for. But this was something that I felt needed to get out there just due to the consequences of it. And that is the biggest thing, is if an illegal bat comes out, player steps in the box with it, we realize it's illegal, and I invoke these penalties, and the manager of the team has absolutely no clue what rule I am talking about, how does that make me look? To be perfectly honest, it makes me look like an asshole. Oh, really? You're throwing me out? For what? What rule are you talking about? Oh, well, it's a new rule this year. Well, yeah, one that you just made up, Blue. I can just see that whole thing going sideways in a hurry. So, yeah, I took the time during the plate meetings to, you know, at least, you know, summarize that rule. Everybody understood it. Everybody was kind of like blindsided by it. But that was, if there was only one thing they walked away from that plate meeting remembering, it's that. So that's a good thing in my opinion. So yeah, we worked, ended up working the four games. First game, had the first home run I'd ever called. Bottom of the first, kids are slamming the doors again. Bottom of the first, second batter, second pitch, cranked it out over the right field fence. Had the first intentional walk. Every game you go out, you're going to see something new. You're going to learn something new. And those were a couple of new things for me. Another one during the second majors game where I was on the bases, we had a batter that decided to bunt with two strikes. And where do you think that bunt went? Yeah, it ended up foul. Batter's out. And the batter had no idea why he was out. Oh boy. Yeah. So I think that was something that, you know, coaches could have got with parents and players and whatnot during the off season, and, you know, maybe held some clinics or whatever and went over some of that stuff. Because this kid truly had no clue. And the coach just walked over and went, "Yeah, you're out, buddy. You know, if you bunt with two strikes and it goes foul, it's an automatic out. That's been a baseball rule since, like, there was a baseball rule book." So, yeah, had a good number of things that I'd never seen before, stuff I had to call. Overall, another good day, another good learning experience. The two minors games that we ended up being able to play, yikes. Absolute walk fest. But again, you got catchers that have never caught before, pitchers that have never pitched before. You know, half the pitches didn't even reach the plate before they hit the ground. And then that's just something that's going to take time. Yeah. So, worked a few more games throughout the week. Worked some majors games, worked some minors games. Actually went over the field that we normally have the minors games at. We've gotten so much rain up here in Maine. Yes, I know that rhymed. Haha. We've gotten so much rain up here in the last couple of months, honestly, that I was talking to one of the managers, and he went by that field the other day, and he says, "There's, like, still 6 inches of mud in the infield." It's not playable at all. We're going to need, like, a solid week of no rain and sunshine before we can even do anything with it. So they're scrambling for fields. Ended up going over and playing at a school over in the neighboring town, which was awkward a little bit for me, because I actually attended this school in 8th grade, and I had done softball in gym class on that field. So it was kind of strange walking onto that field as the plate umpire and looking around. And then I started thinking about it. Here it is, 2025. I went to 8th grade at that school from 1999 to the year 2000. It's been 25 years since I set foot on this particular field. That was crazy. That was real, real strange. But had a good game, had an out-of-town team come in and play one of our minors teams. You know, good game by both teams. Fairly equally matched. But, yeah, got that one done. And then the other night, I'm recording this on Mother's Day, actually. Friday night, I worked with an umpire that I've never worked with before. And he, real nice umpire. But when you think of, like, picture a Little League umpire, you know, or just a rec ball umpire. Picture what it looks like in your, what this person looks like in your head. That was this guy. He had the charcoal gray pants. He had sneakers, not even plate shoes, sneakers, with the metatarsal, the Velcro metatarsal guard on his shin guards that went over the top of his sneakers. He had the single black ball bag. He had the quarter zip pullover that was like the almost navy blue with the red, white, and blue bands around the cuffs of the sleeves and around the waistband. The big, like, for those of you that go back this far, the big Steve Urkel glasses, the big thick black rim glasses. His mask had the excess strap just flailed out there. It looked like Albert Einstein's hair. Just the typical, typical like rec ball umpire. That's about the only way I can describe him. Again, real nice guy. I liked working with him. You know, I'd work with him again. I would have no issue with that. But that's, as soon as he came walking up, I'm just looking at him going, oh, dude, boy, do you look the part. Oh, man. You know, and like with me, I've got all the tails for the straps on my mask. I've got the Ump Life harness for my Force 3 mask. But I've got all the extra tails. I've got them electrical taped to the harness so they're not flying out everywhere. Gives you a nice clean look. I've got, you know, obviously the pants. When I'm working the plate, I have two ball bags. One to keep baseballs in, the other to either keep used baseballs in or to keep a bottle of water or two in. That way I don't have to go running back, you know, over to the fence every time I need a drink. You know, if there's a, you know, time is called or we're between innings or something like that, I can just reach in my ball bag, grab a bottle of water. Good enough. You know, and then if I have to wear a, you know, a pullover or something, you know, I run the black. I got the black pullover. I've got the black jacket that's large enough to accommodate the chest protector, not a plate coat, but an actual full zip jacket that have just the white stripes on the sleeves. My black umpire shirts have the Little League patch on them. That was another thing that I thought maybe it was just this particular league. They didn't have time or didn't realize it was a rule or something like that. None of the players' uniforms have the Little League patch on the left sleeve. None of them. But this game that I worked on Friday, we had a team come in from a town like 30 or so minutes away, and none of their uniforms had a Little League patch on them either. Could have swore that was actually a Little League rule, and I looked it up, and it is. You know, some people think, oh, well, that's just for tournament time. You got to have the patch. No, it actually says right in the rule book, regular season and tournament. But anyway, that's why I'm not a member of the board of this league. So that pretty much sums up my first week. Still got some bruises on the left leg. I have gotten hit in that leg a grand total of 4 times so far this week working the plate. 2 of the hits, oddly enough, both on different days, but both in the exact same spot. And the first hit I took in that spot Saturday was just starting to feel better, too. And then I took another shot right in the same spot. It's like, you got to be kidding me. So, yes, I am looking into some thigh protection. Don't know if I'm going to go with the Force 3, the Force 3 tights with the Kevlar plates. I love how everything is, oh, well, you know, it's the greatest thing out there. It's got Kevlar in it. Well, that's great. I'm dodging baseballs, not bullets. You know, I really don't think I need Kevlar in my chest protector. I don't think I need Kevlar little plates for thigh protection. I think just like a plastic plate would be perfectly fine. I don't understand the big push on Kevlar all of a sudden. But you see that even outside the baseball world. Oh, this has got Kevlar in it. This has got Kevlar in it. This has got Kevlar in it. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, maybe Kevlar does things for materials, you know, other than just make it bullet resistant. I don't know. But it seems like everything these days, that's one of their selling points, is it has Kevlar. So now that the first week is over, where do we go from here? That's a damn good question, to be perfectly honest. There is still mass confusion as far as the schedule and what, because the schedule, the game schedule is always changing because we keep getting rain and having to postpone games or move games to a different field or stuff like that. And then, of course, you got to start moving umpires around. And so it seems like every single day this past week, I have gotten a revised schedule as far as who's working what games. And one of the problems is the gentleman that I worked with on Friday, he is from another town, and he has another person that assigns him games. So now my UIC has to get a hold of the other UIC for this other town and coordinate to see if this umpire is available to work this game. And it's... ay, ay, ay. And then you throw, you know, other events into the mix, like I can't work a game tomorrow on Monday because it's my youngest daughter's birthday. So, sorry, guys. And then the other UIC from the neighboring town, the one I was just talking about, apparently he's kind of down and out for the foreseeable future because of a family emergency. So now it's difficult to get a hold of this other umpire to see if he can come and work games with us. And it's crazy right now. It really is. Like I said, things are changing every day, and it's just nuts. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hopefully I will have some answers by the next episode of the podcast, because that will be, about a month away. So we should be, almost close to wrapping up the season at that point. I apologize for getting this one out a little bit late. I was trying to kind of aim for the beginning of the month, beginning of May for this episode, but obviously the season is upon us and you start working games, and by the time you get home, you know, it's 8 at night by the time I get home, and you know, really I just want to eat dinner, wash up, and go to bed. Really don't feel like doing a episode of this podcast at that point, which is why, like I said, I'm doing this one on Mother's Day. Don't tell my fiance, she'll probably kill me. Anyway, yeah, so that is it. So that brings us to our question of the month. I haven't heard any feedback on the question of the month, so hopefully you are enjoying these. You know, I'm kind of a big proponent of continuing education, and you know, I think this is something good just to really get your brains thinking, and maybe some unusual situations that you don't see very often, or maybe you've never seen, just to get you thinking about it. And you know, if you have to dive into the rule book to figure out the answer, go ahead. There actually was one that I posed the question the other day to the Umpires of Little League Facebook group. If you are on Facebook and you are a Little League umpire, I would highly, highly, highly suggest joining that page and that group. A lot of very, very knowledgeable Little League umpires on there. People ask great questions. But this particular one, and this is not the question of the month. I'll get to that here in a second. But I want to pose this question to you also. You know what? I will make this the question of the month. Why not? I'll save the question I had planned for next month. So let's just say the top of the third ends with the third out.
Yeah.
Strikeout. It really doesn't matter. So the third out is made. The defense runs into the dugout. The visiting team runs out of the dugout onto the field to take defense. It is at this point that the visiting team decides to change pitchers. Going to go with a different pitcher. So obviously that player gets 1 minute and up to 8 warm-up pitches, right? That's pretty standard. But now let's say during that 1 minute time frame, the pitcher has never pitched before. So one of the coaches notices that, you know, he's having some trouble with his delivery. So that coach goes out to the mound during this 1 minute and gives this pitcher a little bit of instruction at the mound on how to deliver the ball. Would this count as a charged defensive visit? I will let you chew on that one for the month. Like I said, I posed this same scenario and question to the group over on the Umpires of Little League Facebook group. And it's been almost 48 hours now, and they still can't even come to a consensus on whether this would be a charged visit or not. A lot of them are saying it is a charged visit because technically the inning starts when the first warm-up pitch is thrown. Others are saying it wouldn't be a charged visit because that's the time that the pitcher should be doing warm-ups, and it's not technically part of the inning, but I'm also still not going to allow it. And, you know, there are some people that have, you know, brought up, well, this rule says this, and then they post a screenshot of the rule, and the screenshot of the rule does not show what they just claim it shows. So, yeah, there's still really no consensus on that. And this group, if somebody asks a question, once a question has been answered, comments get turned off. Well, like I said, it's been almost 48 hours, and the comments still have not been turned off on this one. It's still a running question, basically. So, yeah. That is about all I have got for this episode. So thank you all very much for listening. Again, any ideas for future episodes, questions, comments, anything of the sort, bluecrewdiaries@gmail.com. Send me an email. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you on the diamond.